The specific genetic codes of the Wilson lineage made the operation all the more likely to succeed. The publication of this book coincides with the 50th anniversary of the Babylon working and the dawning of the UFO age. Although there is much yet to be revealed, we are one step closer to understanding it and one step closer to the Pleiades. Chapter 33, Project Goala. After Preston Nichols had his initial encounters in the Pleiades, he ended up working at Montauk. This might make the Pleiadians seem foreboding at first hand, but this is not necessarily the case. Preston has been likened in the past to a radio receiver that can potentially tune into any station in the cosmos. If you ever saw his radio room, you would get the idea even more clearly. He claims to have received radio transmissions from the past in that room. As a human radio receiver, he was also susceptible to transmissions that pulled him into a project that had many negative results. There were also many timelines involved at Montauk. Reality actually consists of every potential reality that can be conceived, and this includes a multitude of timelines. Although their involvement is actually much more complex, it would seem most likely that the Pleiadians entered Preston's reality in this life so that he could break the news about Montauk and raise the consciousness of the original timeline. My own involvement with Preston coincides with the latter. You will recall from an earlier chapter that I experienced missing time in 1982 shortly after making a decision or postulate to dissolve the physical universe. In short order, I ended up on Long Island. It took me 7 years, but I finally found Preston Nichols. And, if you're looking for ways to understand the predicament of this universe, he is a very good starting point. It took me a long time to figure out my own missing time. I even forgot about it for a good while. After returning to the area, I remembered it quite clearly. I asked Preston Nichols about it, but he didn't have any clues. He encounters people with missing time quite frequently. Answers came later, even though I wasn't soliciting them. One answer came after I had participated in a ceremony with Sharon Jackson, as described in Pyramids of Montauk, the shaman for the Montauk tribe. Sharon had taken notes before our meeting and had written things about me that she perceived as given from the Great Spirit. She said that I had access to realm that had been denied to Preston and Duncan Cameron, but that I had been blocked upon coming back to this realm. This same theme was repeated by different sources without them being asked. I then clearly understood that my decision to dissolve the hurtful mechanical aspects of physicality had an immediate impact. My life changed and I ended up in the general vicinity of Montauk Point, New York. I had also made the decision with a clear head and pure heart. In fact, it is probably the most sincere decision I have ever made. It resulted in me being teleported, but to where? The next clue came from my friend Maya, who channels to Uti and whose work has paralleled mine in many aspects. She told me about a project named Goala, which exists in the future. In 8885 AD, Goala was established by the Inner Light Network in our current time frame and was projected through a time tunnel to the future. The Inner Light Network is defined as people of Earth who are working for divine order in government and other arenas, many of whom receive direct guidance from ultra-terrestrials. Goala operates on two main levels. The first is human health and ecology to benefit our current time zone. The second is to devise a code germ to be entered into the matrix which the extraterrestrials and One World League, codename OWL, have created to manipulate our time grid via such projects as Montauk. This germ, if successful, would disrupt the gridlock and allow the Metatron to be restored to our reality. Metatron is defined as the prototype for the basic constituents or subparticles of matter. It also refers to the full light spiral of matter as opposed to the half-light or dwindling spiral of matter. In other words, metatronic energy would be that which is ingested with the full light spectrum or expansive light from the first cause. The Inner Light Network has consisted of such people as Rudolf Steiner and Nikola Tesla. Goala is the most advanced research center of this network that maintains a black box control center in real time near Golden, Colorado, 250 feet underground in a small complex. Goala is the counterbalance to the Montauk project, keeping it in check for now and eventually designed to render it powerless. Montauk, Atlantis and Cydonia, location of the face and pyramids on Mars, were originally a part of the Kali Rift, which is another name for the false timeline. Besides Golden, there are other balancing nodes such as Easter Island and Ram, Set, which is located under the Pentagon. Kali is the Hindu goddess of time who devours all. She corresponds to Babylon and she is identified with the menstrual stream of time. Her colors of black and red are often worn by magicians as well as Satanists. While the upper echelon of beings who control Montaukara aware of Koala and their efforts, they are powerless to do anything about it. Koala sits in a dimension that is not accessible to them and exists in the future Earth reality referred to as the New Earth Star by Tauti. At the time of the Great Transition, also referred to as the 100th Monkey Effect or the return to the original timeline, only a very small part of the area known as Montauk will be transported into that new reality. All of this was quite an earful from Maya as recorded from Tauti. There is much more to the story, but it goes too deep to tell in this book and would require a lot of study to properly explain it all. While it does not answer every possible question about my own experience of missing time, it clearly is the best theory for the moment. The minute I made the decision to dismantle the negative physical aspect of existence, I was recruited for Project Koala. No one asked me a thing. Zoom, missing time. My life situation changed dramatically. All of my experiences would prove to serve as a training ground for my work with Preston Nichols. It is not necessary to go into elaborate details, but one significant example is my wife. I just happened to marry an award-winning artist and designer who has made these Montauk and Pleiadian stories come alive through her incredible illustrations and design sense. This has considerably helped the marketability of all the books which Preston and I have authored. Not even the top best-selling authors in the world get this kind of service because their publishers can't or won't afford her or her peers. She not only does this as a favor to me, but lets me participate in her artistic process. This is just one example of many where I have been struck by either blind luck or serendipitous coincidence. We were even born in the same hospital. I could go on and on. If Koala did not pull me into their operation, then it is clear someone or something else did, and it has all been for the positive. It stands to reason that there would have to be a counterbalance to Montauk and other negative space-time projects. If not, we'd all have been consumed beyond recovery by now. In ancient legends of the Australian Aborigines, the Koala Bear stands for unkillability, as is relayed in the following myth. Koala Bear was an orphan who sought refuge with the tribe but was always neglected. In the dry season, he sought water which was in scarce supply but no one would supply him. Even children treated Koala with bitterness and he cried himself to sleep. One hot summer day, when the tribe was out hunting, Koala stole all their water and placed it in vessels high in a tree. He even took what little water remained in the streams. Koala then climbed the tree and made magic so that the tree stirred and cracked, eventually growing until it reached the sky. Upon returning to their camp, the tribe was distraught over the loss of their water. They soon noticed a giant tree in the middle of their camp and saw their water along with Koala clinging to the branches. When they tried to fetch their water from the tree, Koala would wait until they came very near the water, then, he would spill the water on their hands so they would lose their grip and fall. Finally, two of the tribe's best athletes decided they could fool Koala by climbing up the tree in a serpentine fashion. Scaling the tree in a corkscrew manner, Koala missed the men as they went out of position as soon as the water was dropped. Finally, one of the men reached Koala, grabbing him and flinging him from the tree. Although he hit the ground and was beaten by the hunters below, not a bone was broken. The koala was full of life and escaped to his life high in the trees. Eating the leaves of the gum tree, he no longer needed water, but the humans still stand on guard in fear of his magic. The above myth is more than symbolic of the koala's lack of need for water. The koala bear is an opiated animal representing an altered state of consciousness, resting high in the trees. The tree connecting to the sky is symbolic of the tree of life, which will be discussed later in this book. The legend also demonstrates that man has been at odds with the higher powers of life. If ever there was a project put together to reverse the work of those who seek a lower consciousness, a more apartment name than Goala would be hard to find. It represents immortality as well as the higher aspects of consciousness. The Goala theme also fits nicely with Preston's account of the Christ consciousness described in Montauk Revisited. In that book, a rather incredible story was told of how Christ turned the tables on the negative Montauk operators. So, for now, until we have a better story or more information, we will accept the name Goala as the code name for those trying to get us back home to the original timeline via the Pleiades, for that is where Project Goala all began. Chapter 34, Myths of the Pleiades. This concludes the account of my personal experiences leading to Preston Nichols. It began many years ago as an adventure in consciousness originally inspired by the secret societies of Germany, the roots of which trace back into antiquity. The traditions of these societies uniformly refer back to Atlantis and their home stars, the Pleiades, although very little has been said publicly. The Pleiades are one of the most striking objects in the night sky, appearing as seven stars to those with good eyesight or as six stars to others. There are actually over 250 stars in the Pleiades constellation and they all are closely linked in their orbits. In other words, they don't move around much with respect to each other. Almost all the mythologies on Earth, if not everyone, have mentioned the Pleiades in their oral or written traditions and consider it to be either sacred or the source from which life sprouted. Seven chambers in the Great Pyramid were built to commemorate these seven stars. The Arabs and Berbers believed them to be the seat of immortality, while the Dyaks of Borneo thought them to be the central point of the universe. South American legends indicate the Pleiades were inhabited by gods who visited the earth. The Mayans believed themselves to be the children of the Pleiades. In the following chapters, I have taken what mythological information is generally available on the Pleiades, dusted it off, and put it on the shelf for easy viewing and comprehension. It is also written in the context of the information in this book with additional commentaries that I feel are appropriate. I will be referring primarily to the Greek and Roman versions as the literature is more abundant regarding these traditions. We will begin with the creation of the universe and then trace the ancestral line, in terms of mythology, that resulted in the creation of the Pleiades. In the beginning was the void, or chaos. And out of this void rose the creative or generative principle known as Mother Earth or Gaia. As she slept, she gave birth to a son named Uranus, the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Metatron. Looking at her with fondness, he showered fertile rain upon her secret clefts and she responded by manifesting nature, the birds, trees, flowers and beasts. Together, they had many children but the 12 who were most powerful were known as the Titans. Six were male and six were female. Uranus had tremendous creative powers including the creation of the electron. Astrology tells us that he possesses all the secrets of electromagnetism. His creations were more powerful than himself which was symbolized by his children's rebellion and castration of him. This parallels the fall of Lucifer in the Bible as Saturn or Satan was the ringleader of the Titans. Saturn was known by the Greeks as Kronos, corresponding to Melchizedek in the Hebrew tradition, which means time. Kronos devoured his children so he would not suffer the same fate as his father. This not only symbolized the creation of a timeline but illustrated the fact that time consumes all those who dare to live in this universe. His symbol was the sickle which he had obtained from his mother and used to castrate his father. Saturn or Kronos has also been portrayed as the Grim Reaper. Saturn had a brother, Osnus, who is the divine personification of the element water. He surrounds the earth like an immense river where everything is created and eventually returns to die. This analogy is symbolic of a Taurus, see glossary, or the Van Allen belt which are said to house the Akashic records. He fertilizes the earth through rivers and water. Osnus had a spouse named Tethys who was the eternal mother of springs. Together, they gave birth to the Oceanids, a multitude of nymphs who lived at the bottom of the sea. One of the more prominent nymphs was Clymene and she married the Titan, Iapetus, another brother of Kronos. Together they furthered Prometheus and his brother, Atlas, who would father the Pleiades. In the meantime, Cronos had been consuming his children for fear they would dethrone him as he did his own father, Uranus. Instead, his Titan wife Rhea tricked him when he was about to eat his youngest child, Zeus. She substituted a stone for the child. Zeus overthrew his father and became the most powerful of the gods. Although Cronos himself had subverted the original timeline to some degree, his reign was far closer to that of creation than the reign of Zeus. The stone fed to Cronos illuminated him. In mythology, stones signified a repository of knowledge or a series of actions. Today, this would be regarded as the programming aspects of crystals. After all, chronometers are crystal-based. After he was overthrown and assimilated the knowledge of the crystal, Cronos repented. While Zeus would become known as Jupiter or Jehovah, he would unleash a reign of terror as never before experienced by mankind. Cronos made his way to Italy, where he would become known as Saturn and gave man agriculture. In this manner, he became identified with the harvest and grim reaper as well as the natural cycles of life. He was foreboding in some respects but was a friend to mankind and was always very fair. Zeus was much more fickle in his relationships with humans and was often rapacious in his behavior. During the overthrow of Cronos, Atlas and his father Aeaptus had fought against Zeus. They were among the first generation of gods and were loyal to Cronos. When Zeus won domination, he banished Aeaptus to Tartarus and condemned Atlas to bear the sky on his shoulders. Atlas thus became the personification of the geometric matrix that underlies all of creation. As he was bearing the sky, of which his grandfather Uranus was the personification, he was actually upholding or maintaining responsibility for the original timeline. In practical terms, this was a huge burden, as the timeline had been sufficiently altered. He was thus subsequently symbolized as holding up the earth. Eventually, Atlas was turned to stone when Perseus showed him the head of Medusa. Atlas was not really a human, but he had human aspects. His turning to stone symbolized the complete fall of man into a frozen three-dimensional state and an artificial earth grid matrix. The other side of the coin was that the stone became a symbol for the crystalline body of knowledge that Atlas had experienced. This arcane knowledge became the rallying point for the civilization of Atlantis, which began in part as a rebellion against Zeus or Jehovah. Atlantis was named after the Greek god Atlas. Atlas furthered the seven Pleiades with Pelion, the daughter of his maternal grandparents, Alcinous and Tethys. Known as the Seven Sisters, the Pleiadians were named Maia, Electra, Taygete, Asterope, Merope, Alcyone, and Celeno. After being born, the Pleiades sisters danced in the sky and were very happy. When they felt alone, there was great sadness throughout the universe and the heavens shook. Suitors were called for, but none ever measured up to the free frolicking nature of the Pleiadians. They took up husbands but were never satisfied. The husbands are long gone, but the Pleiades still await, twinkling in the night sky and waiting for the day when their romantic partners will make them happy once again. As nymphs, the Pleiadian sisters were symbols of fertility who loved to play. The root of the name Pleiades means both to play and to sail. May 1st is known as Beltane in the Celtic religion, and this is the first day of the year when the Pleiades appear in the night sky. It is a fertility holiday and is popularly known today as May Day. The Pleiades set at the end of November. These dates also coincide with the sailing season in the Mediterranean. The Greeks recognized this period as a time of cultural fertility as well. They would sail, explore and conduct commerce. The disappearance of the Pleiades in November signals the beginning of heavy weather, which ends the sailing period. One of the suitors of the Pleiades was Orion, who was a beautiful giant hunter. There are many legends surrounding him, but he almost always exhibited boorish and rapacious behavior. Despite his good looks, the Pleiades tried to avoid him, as his ill manners represented the original sin, which refers to the skewing of the original timeline. The name Orion is closely linked to the word original. His symbols were the bear and the boar, as he was a slave to his lower impulses. The word boar means a rude, ill-mannered or rustic person and actually derives from his antics. Orion was born of a Boeotian peasant. Boeotia was an agricultural province of Greece. The term boor referred to a bonded slave or similarly inclined peasant. The Pleiades were crushed by what happened to their father, Atlas, when Zeus had condemned him to hold up the sky. They were further disenchanted when Perseus, the son of Zeus, turned him to stone with the head of Medusa. Medusa was the symbol of rising Kundalini to the point where it became a hideous truth. Because of her vanity and disregard of the higher aspects of life, the truth was unleashed in a powerful current with the Kundalini rising in its various strains out through her head and hair. She was the symbol of unrestrained truth that was too powerful to look at. Atlas and the entire grid matrix of the Earth were paralyzed into the condition of the false timeline. Perseus himself was initiated into the serpent mysteries and had obtained a seeing eye from three old crones. It was a crystal ball of sorts and enabled Perseus to see the truth. Per means through and is the root of the word perception. This crystal enabled him to see a filtered truth instead of the unrestrained and dangerous truth symbolized by Medusa. Perseus was considered a hero and he corresponds to Quetzalcoatl. His marriage to Andromeda symbolizes the arrival of the red race. Atlas rebuffed Perseus because he was the son of Zeus. The legend has Perseus turning him to stone with Medusa's head, but this is really a hidden reference to the wisdom of the stone or crystal. The stone represents the locked up artificial grid matrix of the planet, but it also signifies the crystallization of the mysteries of Atlas. This myth represents the horrible truth that had already been perpetrated against the original timeline. The Pleiades were so heartsick at what had happened to their father that they took their own lives and were cast into the heavens as stars by Zeus, who loved them for their beauty. Here they remain to this day, beckoning mankind to learn their secrets. Chapter 35, Secrets of the Pleiades. The seven sisters were creatures of love. Their nymph-like qualities and inability to be satisfied symbolizes the incessant processes of creation. That no one man could satisfy them only means that their continued vaginal undulations will create further prosperity and abundance to the earth. That they still await in the skies for their romantic partners and wish to share their secrets means that they are ready and willing to be dealt with. New Age thought has promoted the idea that we either should be or are returning home to the Pleiades. Many people respond to this on a purely emotional basis. It is all rather poetic. The lessons and traditions of mythology clearly tell us that the Pleiades are the key to returning to the original timeline. Although the Pleiades were upset with Zeus for his actions against their father, Atlas, they were shrewd in their dealings with him. They realized that he held the power on Olympus, and one of them decided to use her feminine wiles to seduce him. The motivation of this seduction was not to hurt Zeus, but to create a child in an act of love who would carry the truth to all mankind. The Pleiad chosen was Maia, who consummated with Zeus and gave us the god Hermes, known as Mercury to the Romans. Hermes would infiltrate all aspects of human affairs, being the god of commerce, communication, thieves and the occult. Although noted for his mischievousness, he was also a spokesman or ambassador for the gods and was the inventor of the alphabet, music, astrology, measurement and regymnastics. Hermes was identified as Tauti, the Greek's word is Oath, by the Egyptians and as Enoch by the Hebrews. His father was also identified as Jehovah and his mother's name, Maya, is suspiciously close to that of Mary. Accordingly, he is identified with Christ, who was executed next to thieves in addition to having frequented their abodes. This correspondence only reinforces the link of the Christ consciousness with the original timeline. Hermes also gives us the birth of the Hermetic tradition of mystery schools. It should be mentioned here that the life of Christ as reported in the Bible corresponds exactly to the Hermetic tradition. Whether the story is true or not becomes irrelevant. The account of his life is designed to teach and impart knowledge of how to return to the Father. The Pleiades are a way station. All of this means that the Hermetic tradition is aligned with the Christ consciousness. Before we discuss further aspects of the Pleiades, I will give a brief description of each Pleiad per the Greek myths. We have already discussed Maia, who is probably the most well-known and influential. I have noticed that more than a few women are starting to call themselves by the name Maya, although they do not usually know of the name's relationship to the Pleiades. The Pleiad Selene was seduced by Poseidon or Neptune and gave birth to a son, Lycus. According to one tradition, Lycus went to Asia Minor and introduced the mysteries of Demeter and Persephone, known as the Eleusinian Mysteries. See glossary. Alcyone was a Pleiad loved passionately by Poseidon, who gave her wide influence over the seas. She is also identified with the winds. Halcyons are periods of calm named in her honor. Traditionally, they occur 7 days before and after the winter solstice. Merope was the only Pleiad to marry a mortal. His name was Sisyphus, who was condemned to Tartarus, where he would continuously struggle to roll a stone up a hill only to have it fall when he got to the top. Merope became ashamed of this union with a mortal and refused to shine in the sky. Merope is the least shining star of the Pleiades. This myth shows the futility of investing in mortal illusions as opposed to eternal truths. It makes one lose their luster. Taygete was pursued by Zeus but was rescued by Artemis, Diana, the goddess of the moon and hunt, who turned her into a doe for a disguise. She finally gave way to Zeus and gave birth to Laestamon, whose descendants settled Sparta. Helen of Troy is a somewhat obscure descendant of the Pleiad, Taygete. Asterope is a Pleiad that historians say is overlooked since nothing is known about her. She is a mystery, and the answer to the mystery is in her name. Aster means star. She holds the mystery to the stars, and this is the mystery of all mysteries. This includes the various aspects of the collective unconscious that have been discussed in this book. The Pleiad Electra was also pursued by Zeus, but she hid from him behind the Palladium on Mount Olympus. The Palladium was a statue of Athena's father, or Athena herself, depending on which version you read, which she had brought to Olympus. Angered by this, Zeus threw the Palladium from the heavens and took Electra, who bore him a son named Dardanus, the first king of Troy. The statue was eventually recovered by the Trojans, who considered it the protector of their city. As long as it stood in Troy, the city would never fall. Preciously valued by the Trojans, the Palladium was kept in the temple of Athena. Ulysses craftily reached the temple through an underground passageway and removed the statue from Troy. Only then did the city fall. Troy was set up by Dardanus as a Pleiadian colony designed to teach the Eleusinian mysteries and propagate the goddess, but the fall became inevitable. Electra was so fond of Troy that she withdrew from the other Pleiads so as not to witness its destruction. This is another myth as to why the seventh Pleiad in the sky is said to be invisible or barely visible. It is also gives us a new vantage point from which to view the Trojan War. Chapter 36, Troy, a Pleiadian outpost. The major legacy of Troy begins with the abduction of Helen, which is really a story of the struggle for the energy of the goddess. The name Helen derives from her, the goddess of the underworld and the daughter of Loki. Helen of Troy embodies the entire feminine principle. She was not only a descendant of the Pleiades but of Perseus and Andromeda as well. Priam was the king of Troy. He had a son named Paris, who was left to die in the mountains, as his sister Cassandra had foreseen that he would cause Troy to fall. Paris was found by a she-bear who suckled him, thus symbolizing a connection with Orion. Paris grew up away from the Trojans, who presumed him dead. He worked on a cattle ranch and loved to pit one bull against another and watch them fight. He was extremely strong, considerate, and most of all, fair. The word Paris derives from the root par, which means even or fair. The gods took special notice of Paris because of his ability to be fair, and they respected him for this quality. At the wedding of Achilles' mother, Thetis, all the gods were invited except for Eris, Discord, who got her revenge by casting a golden apple amongst the guests. Inscribed upon it were the words "for the most beautiful." The goddesses Athena, Hera, and Aphrodite all claim this distinction, so Zeus deemed that Paris would make the decision due to his fairness. The word apple derives from aphel, which means to fall. This apple represents the fall from the original timeline, just as it did in the story of the Garden of Eden. It is also ironic that the legend of Isaac Newton seeing an apple fall inspired the laws of Newtonian physics. The apple of discord did its trick, for Paris was overtaken by the power of Aphrodite, and he selected her as the most beautiful of the three goddesses. His decision cost the support of Athena, wisdom, and Hera, conscientiousness, and the hearth, who would support the Greeks in the Trojan War. Paris seduced Helen, who was an exceedingly willing partner, and took her to Egypt, where historical monuments to her can still be seen to this day.